You know how at your annual checkup, your doctor gets out that BMI chart, the body mass index chart? She enters your weight and your height and comes up with a number based on the ratio of the two. If it's too high, you hear the dreaded O word, obese. Your doctor might even say your current weight puts you at higher risk for a whole bunch of diseases, maybe even for an earlier death. In other words, she'll tell you that your weight is unhealthy. But what if she's wrong? Science writer Harriet Brown says the medical establishment has demonized fat. Steve Paulson sat down to talk with her about her new book, Body of Truth. She told him that a lot of what we know, or think we know, about the link between weight and health is wrong, beginning with those BMI charts.
They don't really describe anyone's health. It doesn't tell you how much lean muscle mass you have, how much body fat you have. It says nothing about your eating habits or your physical activity habits. So if you're very short, if you're very athletic and muscular, if you're African American, there's many categories of people for whom these categories are especially inaccurate. You know, it's a very unuseful, unhelpful measure, and yet today you're categorized as obese if your BMI is 30 or over, and if the American Medical Association had its way, everyone with a BMI of 30 or over would require treatment. And I think that doctors are, it's well documented that they are extremely fat phobic as a group, as a generalization.
The big question, of course, is are thinner people on average healthier than heavy people?
Right. And a lot of researchers would have you believe that the answer is yes, but it's more complicated than thin and fat. So let's look at mortality first. Mortality is your chance of dying early. We assume that if you're normal weight, you're going to live longer than, you know, and the fatter you get, the shorter your life's going to be. But actually, that's not true. That's not what repeated epidemiological studies show, that your mortality is lowest when you're in the overweight to mildly obese category on the BMI chart. Hmm. So we have this idea that to be, quote, normal weight is better for you, your mortality, but that's not actually what the research shows.
But doesn't being overweight really put you at greater risk for things like heart disease, diabetes, and stroke?
The strongest correlation with obesity is with type 2 diabetes, and it's a fairly weak correlation. So to give you context, if you smoke cigarettes, your risk factor for developing lung cancer is about 9 or 10 times higher than if you didn't. If your BMI is 40 or above, your risk factor for developing type 2 diabetes is about 1.5 times higher than if you were at a lower weight. So there is a correlation there. We don't know the nature of the relationship, right? So some researchers are suggesting maybe it's not that being fat causes diabetes. Maybe weight gain is an early symptom of diabetes. The truth is we just don't know. We don't understand it. It's complicated. One of the really interesting things I came across in my research was how you feel about your body. Body dissatisfaction. The higher your body dissatisfaction, and it doesn't matter what size your body is. You could be fat, thin, in between. But the less satisfied you are with your body, the higher your risk of developing type 2 diabetes.
Really? That's fascinating.
It is. And it suggests, at the very least, that there's a lot of other factors coming into play.
But what I don't get is, I mean, given all that you've said, we hear over and over from doctors that being overweight is a huge problem. I mean, the American Medical Association has come out and labeled obesity a disease.
Against the recommendation of their own science committee, though. Their own committee at the AMA said, we do not believe obesity should be classified as a disease. It is not a disease state. It may be a contributor to disease. You know, it may be all these other things. They weren't saying they thought it was wonderful, but no, it should not be called a disease. And the membership voted voted to classify it as a disease.
Now, what does that mean, being if something is a disease? How is a disease defined?
That's a really good question. It doesn't mean that much, honestly, that the AMA wants to call it a disease yet. What will mean something is if, like, Medicare takes that up. If Medicare agrees obesity is a disease, that will increase reimbursement for doctors who, quote-unquote, treat obesity, who counsel patients about obesity. So there's the potential for it to generate a lot more revenue for doctors, which, call me cynical, but I think that plays a role here.
Hmm. Well, let's bring this closer to home. A lot of people who worry about what they look like go on diets. But the evidence is pretty strong that diets don't work over the long haul, right?
In fact, they're counterproductive. One of the biggest risk factors for obesity is dieting. Anyone who's dieted, which is most of us, knows what happens. The first time you ever go on a diet, it's probably not that hard to drop some weight. What is hard is to keep it off. So, like, conservative estimate of 95% of people who diet will gain the weight back over 3 years, by year three. So you regain the weight and you say, oh, I better do something about this again. You go on another second diet. And it's a little harder to lose the weight because you have shifted your metabolism, which means you have to eat even fewer calories to lose weight. And then when you gain that back, as you inevitably will, it gets harder and harder. The statistic is something like by age 45, most American women have been on at least 50 diets in their lives. You definitely wind up heavier than you would have been if you had never dieted. So that's number one. It doesn't make you thinner. But then some researchers at UCLA said, okay, it doesn't make you thinner, but maybe it makes you healthier. Maybe it improves your health biomarkers. And we're talking about things you can measure, like blood pressure, like blood glucose, like triglycerides. And they looked at it pretty carefully, and what they found was actually the reverse, that dieting, especially repeated dieting, tends to raise blood pressure, blood glucose. It doesn't do good things for you. It certainly doesn't improve your health, and it almost certainly damages it.
So if dieting is a bad idea for 95% of us, what do you suggest in terms of how we think about food?
Well, see, what's really hard is we've become so used to looking outside of ourselves to know what should we eat? How much should I eat? How often should I eat? Maybe I should go on gluten-free, vegan, paleo, you know, high carb, low carb. Each of us is different, for starters, right? So what's healthy for you, what feels good to your body might not be what feels good to my body. So I think an important piece of it is what some people call intuitive eating. You know, if you're paying attention, the kind of food that makes you feel good, the kind of food that makes you feel not so good. And step number two, big one, is to be able to separate the ideas of weight and health and say, what can I do to improve my health that really has nothing to do with weight? It may affect your weight, it may not. For me, the biggest lesson out of doing all this research is something I kind of already knew, which is moving your body, finding joyful, happy ways that feel good to you of moving your body. You don't have to be out running a marathon, although if that's what you want to do, great. But, you know, dancing, going for walks, swimming, whatever, hula hooping, doesn't matter. Our bodies were meant to move.
Now, you have spent years writing about this issue. You've thoroughly researched the science. Is this a personal mission for you?
It has been. I mean, especially when my daughter got sick.
When she was anorexic.
Yes, she had anorexia. And before then, it was just me, an American woman grappling with, you know, going on lots of yo-yo diets, gaining and losing weight, all the stuff that comes along with that. And that was bad. But then when she got sick, a different side of the whole thing was revealed to me, how weirdly people responded to her when she was super, super thin, when she looked like she was dying, and yet people would walk up to her on the street and say, you look so great. You know, I've been trying to lose 10 pounds. Do you have any tips for me? Literally, strangers would do that. I'd be like, you are kidding me, right? It really revealed how messed up we are. And it also sensitized me to the idea that we talk about this so much. You know, I remember asking my family, like, could we just not talk about anyone's weight or diet for like an hour while you're with her? No, they couldn't do it.
Wow.
It's so woven so deeply into the social fabric, especially for women again.
Yeah.
So it was a personal mission. And, you know, I hope this book does some good in the world.
Science journalist Harriet Brown. She's the author of Brave Girl Eating, A Family's Struggle with Anorexia. And she and Steve were talking about her new book called Body of Truth.